Man, what the fuck is this dude taking so long for? Better put my damn change in this fucking payphone. What the fuck's this dude's number? Man, my ass gotta sit here and try to fucking dial this dumbass number all the way across the goddamn.
407.
Please leave a message after the tone. When you finish recording, please hang up or press the hash key for more options. 1. Saved a message. 5:54 p.m.
Hey, yo, Simeon. It's P. I'm hitting you back to see if dude is on track for that first visit today. I know he's a little bit of a knucklehead and all that, but he's got the juice with him. See y'all in a minute. Peace.
What's good, Bruiser? Nigga looking good.
Press 2 to repeat. 3 to delete. 5 to call back.
Lovely. Okay. This area will be what is called your circle of protection, and...
You're kidding me.
Pardon?
No, you're kidding me, right? Circle of protection against what, like a lion?
Paul, classical evocation is no light matter. There are serious repercussions. You need to understand that.
Okay, but nothing is gonna happen, dude. It's just you and me here. I'm literally going fucking insane. How have I not been admitted to a loony bin after talking to you and Don P for this long? Now I'm summoning other demons, having been instructed by a demon. No. That's just too much. I'm going to go to a pub right now. Fuck this. Fuck you. Fuck Don P. And fuck England. Bye.
Oh, stop.
Why? Why?
Trust me, you're going to want to meet her, if you get what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Trust me. Okay, now after you cast a circle of protection, you'll recite these Orphic-style hymns, yeah?
Okay, take me up in the rain, toward the star. Oh God, really? This shit is so corny, dude. This is gonna be the last time I play this Harry Potter bullshit with you.
Trust me, Paul. Now go on. I've taught you everything you need to know. You're ready. I know you are.
Okay, fine. Like this?
Oh, be careful with it. That's really sharp, mate. Okay. Just like that, Paul. Go on. Cast the circle.
Whoa. Okay. Take me in from the rain, from the toils of sorrow, the wretches of the masses, huddled among their own shadows. Take me in from the rain, and warm me like the sun. Comfort me,
like the sheets of Sunday morning lovers.
Love me.
For as long as the waves crash and beat stone to dust, wash me.
Cleanse the impurities of bitterness
that corrode the spirit.
Sing to me
as the birds do the leaves,
and as the leaves do the wind.
Take me in from the cold,
and I'll shelter you from the rain.
Because if we are torn, we rip like parchment.
But burn together.
When we expire, our embers spark as one.
The ashes rise in unison.
the crackle calls in a single smoke. If I carry one thing to the next life,
it would be the memory of the space in between.
Because after, we are only one.
All of this.
To be with you.
To be with you.
I will be with you.
Hi, Paul. I'm your wife, Demonica.
Oh, shit, she's fucking bomb.
You Americans are so crude.
But shouldn't I be worried that you're a demon? Can I even trust you?
Oh, no, dear. Demon is actually Greek for the good spirit. No need to worry. I have admired you from beyond the veil for some time, and I have taken it upon myself to assist you in the art and science of ancient alchemy, to help you with your cause, obviously, and to make sure nobody gets hurt.
Abstract Motif.
Hope you enjoyed that new material. Paul E. back in the mix. This is episode 5 of Abstract Motif Radio and Podcast. We are in the booth, or I should say at my desk, with Brandon Blaine in the VIP, a.k.a. Beatdun.
Special guest star.
Explain the VIP to the
What's
people.
What's going on?
Explain the VIP.
We're doing
this. How did
this
happen? Paul Espy in the VIP room.
We're doing this right now. So the VIP is something that we fucking got from track that Luke gave us, like, what was it? It was like an old school, like, 2000s track, and it said something about, it was like a track about being in the VIP room. And so basically being, yeah.
Oh, damn, word.
Hit me on my beeper, hit me on my beeper.
Yeah.
And that was they referred to the VIP room as the VIP room. And like, I remember I saw Brandon one time. We were hanging out with Brian, our good friend Brian.
Word.
Brandon was there, and I was like, Brandon's in the VIP room. And I thought, okay, how can I make Brandon's name succinct and then throw it into a lyric? And I thought, okay, I'm just going to cut out the middleman and call him Beatdun instead of Brandon. Club Beatdun. And so at that point, I thought, hey, wherever Brandon is, it's Beatdun in the VIP.
That's exactly how I felt about you. My way at a big party, you know, like at parties where we'd be at, I was like, yo, Paul Espy, yo, but like in the VIP. So it's a metaphor of like, no matter where you are, no matter where we are, loud room, whatever, if you're there, it's the VIP. It's the VIP. It's the VIP.
Right. My style is...
It's a compliment.
Right. My style is just way more low-key, and that's fine. Like, I just...
That's the VIP. Because you don't chill loud in the VIP, bro.
No, you don't.
Because you're in the VIP.
Right. You have to keep it low-key in the VIP. That's all it is. But the thing is, Beatdun is always in the VIP.
When I'm with Paul Espy...
Exactly.
Literally in my phone, it says Paul Espy. Like the Espys, it says Espy.
So let's tell the audience, like, how do I know you, Brandon?
Dude, so, man, I think...
We go back.
Did you have a wrestling shirt or something that had X-Pac on it? Or, like, how did that come to be, like, the word?
Right.
Because I used to make you dap me before tests in science class.
Right, yeah, no, we had a... It was Mr. Craig's science or chemistry class or some shit like that.
Yeah. I think you tolerated me at that, because I was like, yo. And you're like, and you were just, okay, X-Pac.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, we didn't know each other, but like, it was just like, we sat at the same table or
something.
Yeah, like,
we knew what the vibe was. It was like, let's dap before we test.
I was never into wrestling, but I guess like, you know,
I was.
You were into wrestling. I mean, that shit was fucking loud. Like, so it's all good.
That was the best days of WWE.
Right.
WWF.
Right.
Bro, it was Steve Stone Cold.
Right. And so I actually, I remember I had my genesis with you at that point, and then we started to get to know each other little by little through high school. Never anything crazy. It wasn't until after high school when all the guys started to kick it.
Dude, music came through.
Music.
And just like, you were just a goat. You just like had samplers on deck. You just had the fucking astrology books. Like your parents' house had that, like their house, But then you had your, again, you had your VIP room. Like, all that was the whole area. Yeah. The den was your area, bro. Like, that. Right. And, like, we would be over there. Like, I think we'd be over there, like, any day of the week. It was a Monday. It was, like, always a Saturday vibe.
It was either Derek's Garage or my VIP.
Yeah, but the, you know, if you're going to Paul Espy's, like, that was the first VIP. Like, that was it. And you had your control booth, like, whole, like, Star Trek Enterprise type shit. And, right. You know, it was dope, man. And that was a place of, like, everyone knew, like, we're going to Paul Espinosa's. Like, we're about to, like, we're not just going to, like, party. Like, we're going to, like, we're about to get on some Interstellar type.
Be on some VIP.
Like, some conversations. You're going to read some astrology books. Like, you had that astrology book that, like, put your date of birth with someone else's.
The birthday
else's.
Book, yeah.
Dude,
the
and relationship that fucked me
book.
Up, bro.
No, fuck me up, too. Trust me, I'll never be the same after that. I will never be the same after that.
But that was just, and again, why you have a podcast now is because you are you're a conversationalist.
Right.
And I don't even know if that's a real word.
It
like,
is. It
cool
is.
Word. Then it's on. But that's what I told my Lyft driver earlier, leaving like Costa Mesa coming over here. I was like, yo, like, I'm about to do this. Cause you know, Lyft drivers ask you the question. So right. What are you going to do today?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm about to tell you what I'm really doing today. And they're just like, they look at you in the rear view and like, yo, this fool's really up to some shit.
Right.
And I was
right.
like, my boy's doing this podcast and I'm proud of him and it's legit. And I wanted to be a part of it. So here
dude,
I am.
And I'm grateful to have you here. Not only as a friend.
I'm grateful to be here, bro.
Dude, well, the thing is like, you know, like I've obviously we go way back.
That far back.
And the thing is, like, I'm grateful to have you here, not only as a friend, because I have many friends here as well.
Word.
But also because, like, you yourself and our friends are also doing something very special, and that's music.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about what got you into music.
Music, dude, my first, I'm just, for some reason, I'm just going to tell you the first thought, like, that comes to my mind. Like, I'm not going to fake the funk. I remember La Calima. So if you don't know, listeners, you might know, but I live off of Kalima on a street called, I'm not going to disclose it, but I live off of Kalima and Paul Espinosa.
Give us some cross streets though.
Give us some cross streets. Paul and I live off Kalima and we don't live that far away. So you know Kalima, right?
Right.
You know where La Kalima is.
Right.
So my mom would drop me off a block down from that school. Right. Like we get the Taco Bell breakfast burritos.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Remember Taco Bell had those breakfast burritos?
Hell yeah.
Dude, those were fire.
Mm-hmm.
Del Taco, actually, like, it's the same thing, but, like, if you're curious about what that tastes like, you would be a Del Taco breakfast burrito listener if you're, like, into it, if you want to experience what I'm talking about. So she would give me those breakfast burritos, and she dropped me off, like, a block away, two blocks away, so I could walk to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, because she had to go to work, and obviously school didn't start yet, so she gave me those breakfast burritos, but I met my two first, like, homies, two first friends, two first brothers, Daryl and Tyrone, okay? And they lived by that, where the 7-Eleven is right now.
Right.
They lived right there. And I remember walking with them, just meeting up with them, just walking beside them. And I just asked them, like, what do you guys listen to? And they had NWA, they had West Side Connection, and they had something else. And like, yo, this is what we listen to. This is what we're about.
Fascinating.
And I was just really like, whoa, okay. Like, this is really intense. And they're like, yo, you want to be friends with us? Like, you want to kick it? Like, dog, if you're trying to get on this, this is what we listen to. And I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. Like, so I was really impressionable at that age. And
right.
I literally, that was when a record would come out. Like West Side Connection, Tupac, My Ambitions is a Rider, you know, like that whole thing, the Biggie. This is before Biggie and Tupac died, too. So it was very, Friday had just came out.
Right.
So I remember I had a sleepover and we're in my front lawn and the joke was to yell drive by every time a car would come by.
Right.
Like Smokey and Craig did in Friday.
Well, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like that's my introduction to my own music, to my own like, to my freedom, because everyone has that. I think everyone, if they thought about it, they could answer the question, when did you start? Like, what was your introduction to music?
Right. Because,
that was my personal introduction.
Right. Because the thing is, like, you know, being from Whittier, California, like, we're about, if there's no traffic, we're about 22 minutes from doorstep to downtown Los Angeles.
Facts. Facts, and LA listeners. Yeah. It's not that far away.
And especially at that point, that's the late 90s and middle school and stuff
prime
like that.
Time. Prime time for culture right
so,
there.
So we have a lot of like urban LA runoff that goes into the city, and that's why we're exposed.
We're
exposed.
We get all that.
Even now, we're exposed to it.
Yeah, and I love it.
And so you have that kind of performance ability coming from like the rap you listen to early on. Like that's probably why one of the main reasons why you're really big into performance and being a frontman, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be real, 100. That song Funky Town, remember that song Funky Town?
The 70s, yeah.
Yeah, so I, again, grew up with like the dancer at the weddings and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So I remember fourth grade wanting to do, I wanted to dance to Funky Town. I had this, my aunt had this like disco vintage suit that just fit me, like not right, but good enough.
Right.
I'm talking white suit, gold lapels, gold boots, and I wanted to dance to Funky Town.
Right.
I was like, this song goes. I'm going to do it.
Right.
I brought my own boom box and I set it up. And the teacher that was like, this lady saved my life. This lady's actually like one of the many nucleuses that is why I'm like still alive, probably like performing. Because if I had danced to Funky Town, it would have probably been on some like, people probably would have laughed at me for real. So she was like, yo, here's this song. It was Gloria Estefan's, Conga, whatever it is.
Really?
Yeah. So she was like, yo, I have an idea. Why don't you wear like dress pants, a white dress shirt, and dance to this song? She goes, I'm going to play this song and I just want you to dance to it. And my aunt and my uncle were there to watch me audition. And she's like, yo, stop. Because I think she knew if this boy goes out on stage and does Funky Town, they're going to just chop him up. They're not going to get it. The schoolmates won't get it. At least looking back on it now, right? Like, so she put it on and has those pianos and ding 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 ding. Have you heard that song?
Right, yeah.
Right. That song's a song goes, dude. That song is so. And I at the time I was able to do the splits like Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport, like just straight out the like you know,
right.
Full T. Now I do like the James Brown type, but. I didn't even know how to. I just did that when the song came on. I didn't even know I could do it. I just did that shit. And so she was like, what? She was like, yo, like, what was that? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just dancing. So the talent show comes around. What they would do at school is they'd do a daytime show for the students and then do a nighttime show. So thank God for that teacher and thank God for the splits because I was now looked at as the kid that could do the splits. Like, I was automatically not going to get picked on.
Right.
It was like, yo, like, you know, Daryl and Tyrone, my boys, Chris Carr, all the other homies. Like, I was that guy in the group. I was that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, every group has a guy. I was that guy. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, you were the performer.
Yeah. No one told me. Like, I remember doing the Funky Town thing in my bedroom with my mom and my little brother. And my mom was honestly, like, she'll deny it. But she was literally, like, not telling me to do it. She was just kind of like, oh, like laughing kind of type, you know? Like,
right.
I don't think, no one told me to perform at a talent show is basically what I'm saying. There was just something inside me that was like, yo, I need to dance in front of I need to dance with loud music and people. That's it. Straight out the gate.
And it's funny because in essence, that's really what you do now.
Yeah,
and you
word.
Get paid for it. You're a professional now.
Yeah, man.
So that,
yeah.
These are the origins. And I've actually never heard the story. So audience, you're listening to it first, just like I am right now.
Yeah.
And speaking on the fact that we come from the same place in time, what would you say about how Whittier has influenced where you are now and your identity as a musician?
It's everything. Whittier is still constantly rewarding me for, I think it's still rewarding me for the love I've given it throughout my career in music. And early on, after Repeat Repeat broke up, you know, which is something like we can get into and then let whatever. But after that happened, you know, I was in another band with Jay and Michael and Luke, and I saw people around that had already had a shot,
right,
that were kind of already known for being like in a band, but they would come through and they would just literally just tell people they're from LA. And I was like, and they show up to play like Phoenix and stuff with their nose high. Right? What is it? Their head, like, Yeah, yeah, their like chin up. Nose, their nose in the air, whatever. What's that saying with the nose though? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They just had a chip on their shoulder, and I saw them being mean to people, and I heard what they were doing to people, and how they're talking to people, and what they would see. I'd see it in interviews, because this is like where you could still like look up a band. Like I was doing that, like how people like, okay, this band, they would YouTube it, and I could see them like, dude, just shitting on their city, and I was like, you know what, like, I'm not gonna do that, because I learned from people before me, like, if you're coming from a city and you're shitting on your city, how do you expect to have a career in music? Like, that's where you live, bro. Like, that's, I just saw it not working. Like, not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys aren't from LA, you're from Whittier, and you're saying like, yeah, we're from a shitty place, we're from a shitty town.
Well, yeah, well, the thing, you know, is, I mean, like, so here's the thing, is it, if you shit on your city or your town or whatever you want to call it, you can still have a successful career. But that's the sad thing, is it, but the thing is, you won't have respect from where you're from.
No. Nah.
And the thing is,
you were just with me today.
We literally just got back from a good time in Whittier. Like, I was expecting to take Brandon out for a cocktail.
And we went to a bar we've never been to.
We've never been to it.
No.
But it was across the street from a place that a friend of ours works at, a few friends of ours work mm-hmm. at. We go in expecting to have one cocktail, come back. And then what do we find but like a group of locals in open arms for seeing Brandon. And we get the royal treatment. They bring out the red carpet for us. Lord. Not only because I don't even know the guy that purchased us these drinks, but yeah. Brandon knew him.
Mystery. We'll call him Mr. Mystery.
We'll call him one of the many mysteries of Uptown Whittier.
Yeah.
We walk in within minutes. This guy orders not only Brandon, three cocktails, but me as well.
Yeah.
And describe just like that situation, how you ordered it.
Word. So we walk in there. Paul was like, yo, B, like, so I think we go to a bar before we get this podcast going. Let's go to a bar and just vibe out and then talk.
Just one drink.
One drink, whatever. And obviously, I fucking love hanging out with Paul. Like, we go to Low End Theory together.
Remember?
Like, we've done things. Remember? Like, we've done things. We do things together. And, like, not a lot of people can say that, dog. Not a lot of people can really say. But anyway, we went into this bar. I've never been into it. I call it Nerd Bar. Because it's like video games on the walls and stuff, and I love right. you know it's right. it's the Nerd Bar. It's tight. It's like what's that show called with the guy with the guys on TV, with the full Sheldon.
Oh, like some Big Bang Theory.
Oh, big!
Shit?
It's the yeah. Big Bang Bar, bro.
It's
the Big
like Bang that. Day. Bro. I've never seen a bar like this,
dude. But I'm into it.
Right.
But we walked in and there was like right when we walked in, it was like, hey, what's up, guys? What's going on? And we're like, yo, here's the bar menu. But anyway, Mr. Mystery was there with a stack of $2,000 bills on the table. And
I saw it and I was like, dude, why does this guy have like a stack of $1 bills? I didn't even realize until Brandon told me. They were a
you
stack
saw it.
Of
bills. No, I you saw it, but you didn't believe it until I
didn't
clarified
believe
it.
I didn't believe it.
I was like, did you see that stack of $2,000 bills? It. He goes, I did, but I
thought
I
it was like
know.
$1 bills. I thought he was like getting ready to leave a tip, but like he kept buying people drinks and go on.
Yeah, so I went up to him because I have to say hi to him. Like I just, yo, what up, Mr. Mystery? And he was like, what are you doing? What's going on? Like, what's the deal? He goes, what are you going to drink? And I said, well, first I'm going to get a daiquiri. And I'm going to head on down to Margaritaville and I'm going to end things in Moscow. And if you're familiar with cocktails, you know, Margaritaville, Moscow Mule. And he was like, you know what? Here, get him those three drinks. And then who's your friend? Let's get him three. All right. Get those.
Off top.
Off kilt. I don't even know if that makes sense in this like whole
let's,
thing, but I'm just going to say off kilter
because
it just sounds tight. Off kilter. Kosher as those cocktails were kosher as fuck. Let me just get that off the top.
The straight halal.
It feels
shit.
Good to say out loud. Right. I'm just gonna say it. Kosher right. Cocktails is kosher, baby.
Cocktails
is kosher.
Got the halal drink on
there. Halal and right. Proud, right? So Paul's, and obviously I haven't seen Paul. I don't see Paul a lot, but Paul's just on, like sitting across, like as I'm talking to Mr. Mystery, I see Paul just on his phone. He already ordered a drink, but I call Paul over. But this is like the whole vibe of the podcast. It fits into what we're talking about right now.
Right.
And then as we're sitting there, PJ comes in, Port King comes in, right? And we finesse with him. We talk to him for a little bit. I got to get up to go to the bathroom. But there's been this guy who's been eyeballing me the whole time since we walked in. And me being me and whatever being whatever, I'm just not going to assume he knows me. I'm just not going to talk to him because I'm just sometimes it doesn't work out in my benefit.
Correct.
So I went over to order Pork a drink. You know, the man's in town, you know, and we've got 6 free drinks. I'm going to order Pork. I'm going to pay it forward. And I go over to the bar and the guy goes, "Hey, man, can I talk to you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, bro, what's up?" He goes, "I fucking love you, dude. Like, I love your band. I was like, I'm from Whittier and I didn't know you guys are from Whittier until you said something like that." Like, that's raw. That's raw gutter love right there.
Right. So
that's it. That's why you got to rep your city. Guys in bands that are starting bands, humble yourselves, rep your city. Like, if you're not from Atlanta, but you're from like an outskirt of Atlanta, rep that outskirt.
And I know Brandon's never the type to look for any kind of handouts ever. And like, when you actually rep your city, again, don't do this for the handouts, but at the end of the day, when you rep your city, you're going to get a lot of people that will pay that love back to you because that's what they're from. And they have hometown pride in the way that a lot of bands really wouldn't.
Dude, we could have said we were from LA. Like,
right.
That's an easy out.
But
then the people that were actually from LA would be like, "Yeah, you're not from LA." There was just a moment where the universe was like, "Yo, B, you see how this has worked out for these guys?
Right.
Just rep the city." And playing at Phoenix, I was like, "Yo, they're going to know about Whittier." And there's 150 people inside of Phoenix. And I'm like, "They're going to know about Whittier. We're going to take Whittier to LA. We're going to take Whittier to Long Beach. We're going to take Whittier to Fullerton. We're going to take Whittier across the fucking pond." And the city was just like, "Ah, ah." And like, that's just what seemed right to me.
Right.
And now it's like, that's what it is, man. It's just love.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, Whittier is a very interesting place because, like, first off, it's isolated by freeways, so that's where it gets like
And a lot of people say it's not, dude. Sorry to interrupt you, but someone the other night was like, "Yo, Whittier's just not close to any freeways." And well, I say it with that voice, because that's how I heard it.
Well, like, yeah, because like they're very arrogant about it. But the thing is, like, I'm not saying that. There are drawbacks to any situation. I will grant that person that, but I'll say this. Whittier has a small town dynamic because it's isolated by freeways. But that's also...
We've been blessed enough to have a small town dynamic.
Right.
Because there's people from Whittier that just don't know the dynamic.
Right. The thing is, like, the fact that it has a small town dynamic doesn't make it a small town.
No.
It just means that a lot of the culture, or at least a good percentage
of it, our circle,
can be a little isolated, can be a bit exclusive. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, since it is literally 25 minutes away from downtown with no traffic, granted, it also has a lot of inner city urban cultural influx, which means it's never necessarily in the boonies. But it is
not the boonies, man.
Yeah, but it does restrict some inflow.
Let me ask you this.
So there's a good thing. There's good and bad for that.
Let me ask you this question.
Right.
All right. This is what I told a friend of mine about Whittier, right? If you lived in LA, right? You lived in the heartbeat of LA.
Right.
And be real.
Right.
Would you go to Whittier?
I would.
Okay. But I was hoping you would say no.
Why?
Because a lot of people that grow up in LA in that culture don't go to Whittier. And I know this. Like, I don't see them in Whittier.
Oh, no. I thought you meant if I were to move to Los Angeles.
If you were born.
If I was born to LA.
You would not go to Whittier.
If I was born.
No.
If I was born to LA City proper, I would not even know about LA.
If you were spewed out Echo Park, would you go to Whittier?
No, I thought you meant moved.
Cool. Oh, yeah, no.
Here's the thing.
Answer.
Okay. Because I was an Uber driver for a period of time when I needed just some extra cash, right?
Yeah, handle.
I remember picking up people from literally 10 minutes west of downtown LA, mm-hmm, that were born and raised. And on top of that, people even further than that, that were born from those parts of town. And mm-hmm, I would ask them. So, I'm from Whittier. And they're like, "Wait, where is that? I don't know where that is."
Yeah.
And the reason why is because if you're from just 5 to 10 minutes west of LA, you are not likely to know about Whittier. You may know about West Covina.
Oh, yeah.
You may know about
Anaheim. I'm not expecting people to know about it. No.
So, therefore, if I was never from Whittier, I would probably never even know about Whittier.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
right. So I would never, I'd never want to visit because I'd never even know about it.
Exactly. So while I was telling my friend, it was like, look, if you were born in Long Beach, you wouldn't go to Whittier. If you were born in OC, you wouldn't go to Whittier. And if you were born in LA, you wouldn't go to Whittier. But the thing about us is like, dog, I feel like we're crate diggers of the cultures. Like, we understand, like, we live with the Chicano culture. We live with this upper scale culture that's there. We're here, like, we go to, we're in these public schools that we're blessed to have, like, integrated, like, we got blacks, whites, Asians, everybody's there.
Armenians, even.
Armenians, shout out Derek Holub. Like, we got, we got everything. And that's just what we have.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing. Like, yo, like, we're not saying our city's better than any city. No, because to me, it's all Cali, baby.
Right.
It's all fucking Cali
vibes.
And
the thing is, like, we've all, for the most part, lived, or at least traveled in lots of different places.
Word.
Europe, different parts of California, different parts of the country. And what it comes down to is that L.A. is kind of like, it has its feelers and it has its tentacles that, like, surround not only Los Angeles County to, like, its near furthest reaches, which is, like, you know, Santa Monica, West Hollywood, all parts of Hollywood, Echo Park. It's got its own pockets.
That's tight.
And it also pulls from Orange County. And that's where I wanted to bring up to you is the next thing is Nicole Alvarez from K-Rock. And not only that, but BBC Radio 1 described, and I'm saying this mostly from what Nicole Alvarez said, is that Plague Vendor, when they played you guys, described you as California punk, but this is the big but that I really want to...
The big booty banger?
The big booty banger is...
The big rotunda from down under?
Is that it was with some extra grit and some attitude, and I think that's very much specifically Whittier. And can you describe what you think that extra grit comes from?
Dude, that's the extra grit.
You gotta say Comstock.
The extra grit... The extra grit is... The eclecticness, the five friends, the four friends, the 10 friends, the four guys being Plague Vendor.
Uptown,
it's just us vibing and all being into, even before that, though, even before there was a Comstock, but then when there was Darius Garage and going back to your house, those were, honestly, we're philosophers, my friend. Right. And I'm not saying this with a big head at all. Like, we were just young philosophers just vibing and talking about turning on each other to different types of arts, like, you know what I'm saying? And like, so Calm, to go back to Calm, like, yeah, that's a place where some of the boys lived, and that's where we wrote Blood Sweats, where we filmed the Black Sap video. It was epic.
Black Sap.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like, the banger that, like, basically, like, kept us afloat, like, kept us, like, moving through and grooving. And, you know, like, but I think it's just that eclecticness of, like, Whittier to me, and, like, in those era, the era of Comstock, which was, if you're listening, that was a street in which some of the boys lived on, which is where we would all go. I lived on the floor in, like, the music room at the time. There's, like, a picture of me in the Free to Eat album. If you open the CD, there's me, like, laying down. And the boys were nice enough. Obviously, like, Luke, my boy, is, like, never going to, like, you know, as long as I just, like, pitched in for some beers and, like, took out the trash or whatever. Like, I don't even know. I was just there, man.
It was grimy like that.
It was grimy like that, but I'm so glad that it was... I was able to experience that.
But that was part of the brotherhood.
Yeah, no, it's part of the brotherhood. But when she talks about the edginess and the grittiness now, it's like, I'm not that person. I'm not hanging out there anymore, and no one even lives there anymore. And like,
oh, it's not even about that.
No,
it's
but
just
I'm
about the foundation.
No, but yeah, no, for real. But I was, as I listen back to those words of like grittiness and edginess, it's like, because she's saying that because we are all different. Like, Michael listens to what he listens to. Jay listens to what he listens to. Luke listens to what he listens to. I listen to what I listen to. And you put that all together, and you have those, all those chemicals, like, vibing out together and combusting, you're gonna get a gritty, edgy vibe. And we're not faking the funk, bro. For one,
right?
Did you hear her say they're from Whittier?
No.
Stryker played us a couple days before Nicole Alvarez, and he said the same damn thing. He said they're from Whittier. And you know why they said they're from Whittier? Because we've always repped Whittier. It's right. In the playbook. If you're gonna get the, if you're gonna play Plague Vendor, if you're gonna get something from our publicist or from our team, it's gonna say in fine fucking bold print, yo, they're from Whittier. Tell the city they're from Whittier.
Right.
Because that's important. And you know what that does for you, for that does for me, or that does for the homies that no longer live in Whittier, that are like living their lives and doing their careers, like that just, that is such a big moment, man. Like, and that's what I've always wanted to do, is just rep the city. Rep the city that birthed you. Like, I learned how to rock stages in Whittier. I learned how to control crowds in Whittier. I learned how to network in Whittier. I learned how to be me in Whittier.
You know what? And like, wherever I've lived and wherever I've been, there's always been something about them, the people that I've met, I should say, mm-hmm. that have always vibed out about me. And it's the fact that, like,
bro, you're from a crop that's just like on this open tip of like, what are you into?
But the thing is, dude, and I've noticed this about, and actually this is, I'm coming to this realization right now, is that everyone that I know that's either in another city or abroad, mm-hmm. they've always gotten this crazy amount of love, and there's always a spark or there's always this charm about them that attracts other people. And I know, I mean, the thing is, don't get me wrong, there's special people from all over the planet.
Bro, like, we're not living in LA, repping LA.
Right.
But, you know, there's people that move from out of L.A. to move to L.A. and they go, yo, like, there's a lot of people like that.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like,
slowly, we're not, they outnumber us.
But what I'm saying is that, like, a lot of people all across the planet are very special. Everyone's special. Yeah, right.
Bro, everyone's amazing.
But there's always something about, and myself included, yourself included, your whole band included, that people are always drawn to about us. And I think a lot of it has to do with like this kind of charisma that we've developed from like a sense of humor. I think sense of humor and music
plays our sense of humor in general, I think.
Sense of humor, are the fact that we're Californian, we have a sunny disposition, attracts people.
We have a smoggy disposition as well.
Right. And that's the dark side. you know what I'm saying? That's the dark side.
Those are the days we're able to weather the storms. Like, you know, today was actually one of those days where me and Chloe woke up and it was like, it's not sunny, but it's not dark outside.
Right.
I hate that weather.
It's weird.
Because you're going to get sunburnt. And that's a metaphor. Like, even though the sun's not out and the sky's not dark, you still might get burnt by that shit.
And that's very Californian of you to say.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Take the 105 to the 605, get off the 405 on Guilford and take Guilford down to Beaumont.
Do you have like three favorite times you could think of being in Whittier at that time?
Dude.
Formative, like, you know, Comstock, anywhere from 2005 to now.
I have, my childhood memories, I got three childhood memories. Obviously, the first one is meeting Daryl and Tyrone.
Right.
Okay. The second was our first repeat practice.
Right.
At Brian's with Pork. That was after we kicked Eric Lamone out. Shout out Eric Lamone. But that was a really, actually when I used to sing Facing the Wall.
Okay.
Like, I used to sing like that at practice, like just facing the wall. Like, I didn't, you know. So that was a big deal.
Right.
And that's tying into our like repeat show at like D Piazza's.
Right.
Remember that shit?
Long Beach?
No, sorry, not D Piazza's, but the Piss on Whittier Boulevard is a pizza spot.
Oh, yeah, by La Habra.
Yeah.
Right.
And then my third would be right around the time Plague Vendor got signed and Luke and Jay and Mike lived at Comstock. It was just lit, like the city was on fire. It was just no holds bar. It was just a good time, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about, speaking on, like, you know, when you evolved and, like, you guys started going on, like, tours, because you guys are essentially international now.
Damn, that's so tight. You say that?
Yeah, I mean, like,
That's big dog, right?
It's big dog shit, right? Cool. So it's, what are your favorite tour memories, or do you have any, like, favorite places to tour?
Bro, I'm just going to be quick with it, because, like, I know we don't have all the time in the world, but I'm just going to, like, and I'm not going to toot the old horn here, but, yeah, I don't know why. Man, I know why this happened to me, and I think it's because I've always repped my city, and I think the universe rewarded me for not being an asshole straight up. Right. I always told myself, I've said it in some interviews, like, if you're an asshole, you're not going to make it. So We did a festival, right? And the after party was us opening for Glassjaw. And Daryl, right? Daryl, the singer of Glassjaw, is his name, right?
Right.
Is it? I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah. Fuck. Well, let's Google that really quick. I think. I mean, I want to make sure. I'm pretty sure it's Daryl. I just don't want to be a chop. Let's see. Daryl. No, it's... Yeah.
Daryl Palumbo?
Yeah, Daryl Palumbo from Glassjaw, right?
Okay, yeah, it looks like.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, lead vocals, yeah.
So I got it right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, listeners. Word. So I was... And I know the history of Glassjaw, and there's a lot of people in Whittier that love Glassjaw. Antagonist, Carlos, right?
Right.
He loves...
Whittier bands.
He loves Glassjaw, and I love Glassjaw. You love Glassjaw. Everyone. So I'm... We did an after party with them. This is the memories. I'm going to run through some. They're epic. They're epic, listeners. Like, I'm not even, like, trying to flex, but this is just what I think has just happened. Like, it's epic. So Daryl was backstage, and I just got off stage, and he looks at me and goes, "You're an animal, man." He goes, "You're an animal, man." And he's smiling at me. He's hugging me. And I'm just like, "Yo, like, you're an animal, dog. Like, you taught me how to be an animal. Like, get out there." And that was it. And after we took pictures together, he gave me a shirt, and I gave it to Carlos from Antagonist because I know how much Carlos loves Glassjaw. Like, he loves them more than me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he has a tattoo.
Right.
So it's only right that I give him a shirt that Daryl gave to me.
Right.
And when I gave it to Carlos, it was, like, wrapped in plastic. Like, and I always told Carlos, I'm going to give you the shirt. And he never probably believed me, but I fucking did. You know what I mean? That's... Right. Real talk 101.
Giving, like, back.
Bro, thank you, yeah. And then there was going on tour with Off, Keith Morris, fucking Black Flag, fucking Circle Jerks, okay? Like, he had a book out at the time.
California Punk Legends.
He had a book out at the time, right? And I read the book while we're on tour with them. Like, and he signed my book, and he said what he said. It's, like, really intense and dope. And he gave me his, like, email. But he just wrote some dope, basically just told me to keep doing what I'm doing. And anytime there's someone wearing a punk Plague Vendor shirt, he goes up to them and goes, "That's a great band," you know, in Keith Morris's voice. And to sit down with Keith Morris and have him tell me that I'm keep going and keep doing what I'm doing is a huge thing to me. It's epic.
Right.
And then there was also a tournament with Black Lips in Europe somewhere. On Halloween, and Cole made me opium tea, and me and Luke hung out with Cole all night. We almost entered this, like, Russian dungeon where the guy was wearing a tracksuit, and he's like, "You don't want to come in here."
Really?
Yeah, epic shit. You know, so what? That was a moment. Yeah, that was a moment. And then there was also the Refused tour with Coat Hangers and Refused,
dude, yeah,
and
yeah.
Seeing Dennis and talking to Dennis Lixon, and then the last show of the tour, I look up at Dennis, I'm in front of the barricade, and I gesture to him to call me on stage, and he calls me on stage, and I sing New Noise with him.
No.
Yeah. And I pick up his microphone, his second microphone, because the guy's got two microphones, red threaded cord microphones. I'm not talking just a basic microphone. You're getting, this is a Dennis Lixon microphone that I've been looking at all tour, and there's two of them. And I want to pick them up and touch them and just, like, sing into them. And I don't know what got into me, but I gestured to him to call me up on stage, and he did. And you know, if you look on my Instagram, you can see, like, a blurry picture of him, like, pointing at me. And that was just a big moment for me, and I knew it was a big moment for Whittier and for you and for Derek and for all of our friends, because we listened to The Shape of Punk to Come forever.
All of us were super moved by that album. It was a huge inspiration to all the musicianship, especially the punk-oriented, like, musicianship, metal-oriented musicianship.
Yeah. And if you,
and for Derek, too. Derek,
nah,
is, like,
shout out. And if you don't think if this inspiration, I hope this is as serves as inspiration to the listeners, but if you think it ends there, it doesn't. So, no, it doesn't. It doesn't end there. So, Cedric Blixer Zavala has been probably, I would say, my biggest influence as far as artistry, as far as how do conduct yourself, how to
performance
wise, I mean, even before performance wise, like, cause, and at the drive-in, he was physically still a great performer, but in Mars Volta, he took it up to fucking 100,000.
Right.
I, you know, so before that, I would watch, YouTube was still just a gateway. It wasn't YouTube TV. It wasn't YouTube everywhere. It wasn't YouTube propaganda. It was just YouTube, right? So I like watched his interviews and I saw like things. I heard what he was saying about how to be and let your freak. He said, let your freak flag fly. He said, don't listen to what everyone's saying. Do you. Don't replicate anything. Just be yourself, you know? And that's, I always, basically, if you're listening, you know, obviously I love him so much and his art. So we played Sacramento right after you left Chico. We drove in and we saw Pork, and on our way up there, Cedric DMs us. DMs me, dude. DMs the band. And everyone in the van knows, in the van and in the band knows how much I just respect this guy to the nth degree. And I just hit him up and he was just like, yo, I feel, he's like, you guys play, he commented and he goes, I feel it. He goes, you guys play at the same time as us. That's what he said. It was a comment. Sorry. And I go, no, we play before you. We're going to jet over to your stage after. So right after we played, I got changed my clothes. I walked over there. We watched him play. Andy Roy was there. Legendary, like skatehead was there. The kid who was in Terminator 2, the homie, I don't know his name, but he was there. The guy in Terminator 2,
right.
The guy with the cool haircut, the guy who I modeled, I wanted to look like when I was younger.
Right.
Basically, like, he was there. But Cedric walked off stage, and I went, Michael knew how much I was just so stoked, and just like, Michael walked me up to him and had to introduce me to him because I was just so like, what is this? This is insane. Bro, like, so I shook his hand and I just said, you know, there's a lot of people I know that know you, but I never like was ever going to use that as a way to meet you. I just always thought it would happen naturally. And here we are, you know, and I was like, let's take a Kaufman-esque picture because I know he likes Annie Kaufman. I love Annie Kaufman, you know, so we took like a funny picture and a serious picture and we posted it. And I can tell that those big moments are not moments just for me, but those are moments for the city. Those are moments for my friends and family. Those are moments for our fans. Those are moments for anyone out there who's just like, trying to do what they want to do. Like, I've just named, like, dropped really big, but I'm just saying, like, yo, like, it's all from just pure fucking love and not being an asshole and repping where you're from and not faking the funk. And even then, he DM'd us the other day, and I'm sending him a package of our stuff. And if you don't think it could get any deeper than that, Iggy Pop has been playing our music nonstop on his radio show. And there's might be something happening in the near future where we might be on the same bill. And I don't know, but I hope so. But he's been an avid supporter of our band. And I am just like,
that must be flattering.
Dude, I'm just here, man. Like, I'm just here talking to you. Like, you're my boy. Whittier's my city, and I'm just like, I those are the moments. And I tell the band, like, when K-Rock played us, because I went to K-Rock, I had a meeting there, and I sat down and I told them about New Come Down. I told them about, you know, I just was like, yo, let's get this stuff on the radio. And I understand it's not that easy, and I love everybody at K-Rock for even having me in there to talk to me and listen to our songs, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, they came through and they came correct. And shout out K-Rock and shout out KCRW, Liza Richardson, shout out Nicole Alvarez, shout out Mr. Shovel at KLOS. And what's so beautiful and what's so insane and just crazy about By Night and what they're doing is that Mr. Shovel played Let Me Get High / Low. Liza Richardson, I don't remember what she played. I think she played, but everybody, my point is, and then Annie Mack and BBC One, dude, everyone is playing different songs.
That says something.
That's insane. Like, right. I thought it was supposed to just be one song.
Right.
Like, here's the single, but, dude, it's like, you remember when you heard 40 Ounces of Freedom?
Yeah.
Isn't every, or De Laos in the Comatorium?
Right.
Like, every song on those records are bangers, bro. Those are records you play through, you know what I mean? And I remember when we chose the songs, we were like, yo, let's trim the fat. Like, we're not, we don't want, all right, who, all right, here it is, boys. Like, and we didn't think about it as hard as, we didn't think hard about it. It was just a quick decision, but I'm so glad that we just chose our most favorite, most like loved songs for By Night, because it may be only 31 minutes, but you know what's great about a 31 minute record? Is after you're done listening to it, you're not done listening to it.
Right. Because just you go from back,
dude,
you go back and there's always something to rediscover.
And it's just, you want to hear it again. Right. Like with Spoon songs, with Spoon records, or like Mars Volta records, or like, name a record. The records you want to listen to over and over, The Chronic, or like, what I really love referencing is like 40 Ounces, because it just starts off so insane with like the dog barking, and then it's just like, right,
ends
like,
with the shout-outs.
And or refuse to shave a bunch of come.
And I know that brothers always have their drama, and I'm not trying to get into the drama right now. What I want to ask you is this.
No.
You have three other personalities that you deal with. I want to hear at least one adjective, one descriptive quality that you value in each. Let's start off with Jay, your guitarist. What is at least one word you could describe that you absolutely love about him being in your band?
I love his sensitivity.
Sensitivity.
Like,
wonderful.
Like, there's been times where he's like, I know he's honestly, I can't just narrow him down for one word for each. Those guys saved my life. Like, those dudes like gave me the mic and they were like, yo, you're gonna say whatever the fuck you want, you're gonna do whatever the fuck you want, and we want you to man the fuck up and say this shit. And there was times where I was like, no, I can't do it. I was like being awkward in the studio. I was like doubting myself. And I mean, you got Luke Perrine, Michael Perez, and Jay Rogers just like wanting you to just open up and just take that shit. So
right.
Sensitivity, I think they're all, to me, I have to use adjectives for the same adjectives I've used for one as I use for all of them. Like,
nope, not part of this game. Right, I know, right. They all have wonderful qualities about them.
Yeah, sensitivity.
Because he has an ability to pull from you and understand where you were trying to go for. And I'm guessing.
You know what? I think Jay's his sensitivity. Like Jay's his sensitivity, man, for real. And a lot of people listening, like, don't misconstrue sensitivity with weakness.
No.
And I think a lot of people do that, and you know what I'm saying?
No, but you probably mean like artistic that. Sensitivity. His ability to, like,
dude, his
play
360,
to you.
His 360 sensitivity.
Right.
Is amazing. 360 sensitivity, and he's
That's
got
what you're
that.
Call it. That's you're gonna patent it.
I'm not going to do my boy any dirty, bro.
Hell yeah.
Get the 360 sensitivity.
That's right. That's right. So let's work from the front man to the guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
What a Mike Perez, bassist.
Oh. Mike, I would say there's a lot of words that come to mind. Can I just name those words?
Go ahead, please.
Organized.
Right.
Driver, that's, road dog.
That's the way I would have said it too.
A guy who just take action type, you know, who's like, yo, like he's steering the ship.
Level head.
No, don't get him. I'm just kidding. No. I'm kidding. Mike's listening. Mike's listening. I know Mike's listening, so I know he's going to hear it. But no, Mike, I want to pick one word. It's like, I'm just going to say organized as fuck.
Right.
The boy's just organized. Like,
I think he does a level head. I like the guy.
No, hey, he's. Hey,
I love all the guys.
Hey, yo, he ain't level headed, bro. All
right.
He on his own level, bro. All
right.
He's on his own level. No, I'm just kidding, Mike. No, but Mike is just. Mike
he's
is
the driver. Usually,
he's organized, bro. He's organized. No, wait. What did they say?
He's usually the driver, right?
No, he's always the driver.
He's always the driver. See,
yeah,
that's the guy.
But organized. He's the road dog. He's the road
reliable.
Warrior. But what's it, what do they use? What do they use in mafia movies when the gang is? It's not organized. It's what is it?
I don't know.
It might be organized. It might be it. But he's just dude. The guy's organized, man. You're not gonna fuck with his chi. He has his regiment. He has his plan.
He does.
And I've the man's organized.
Right.
Clean cut, unorganized.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We're working our way back. Front man, guitarist, bassist, drummer Luke Perrine.
Ooh, steam engine.
Steam engine.
Steam engine. Coal. Like, what's it when you put the coal?
Yeah.
Is that
the steam engine?
Oh, bro, he just goes, bro.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've seen him drumming. That's a good
no.
Guy.
See, well, on the last tour, he filmed himself drumming live on his Instagram, and I was like, "Yo,
oh wait, I think I saw the same one." He's chugging.
I was like, Luke, I want to see that shit, dog. Bring it over here. And we watched it, and like, I don't, dude. Luke, okay. Besides my girl, obviously, Luke is my best friend.
Right.
Like, Luke is the guy I started Plague Vendor. I was in the Ford Focus in the Carl's Jr. parking lot talking to him about being in a band. And the first time that I think Luke, like, stayed over anyone's house or, like, stayed out late was at my pad.
Right.
I mean, I lived on Pounds. Right. We didn't even talk about that. It's a whole nother episode.
Oh, no, I think I've been there, actually.
You have.
Yeah.
But, you know, Luke is just, we're very, what people misconstrue about Luke and I is like a lot of people like to put us in the same bubble, like oh, it's you and Luke, but it's like, yo, like, we're actually really fucking different.
Right.
We are very different,
right,
people.
I can see that. Yeah.
But he has just, I don't know, the boy's just always had my back before any of this shit, before anything.
And,
you know, I think he was kind of like a thing where like he knew what I was capable of, so he just kind of made sure I was okay all
right,
the time.
Right, right.
Like the other night, like I was just like having a bad day, and I like texted him, and he pulled up to my pad with like a almost like a 32 of Stella and a bag of hot Cheetos. He's like, "What's up, boy?"
The
like,
hot Cheetos. Okay.
He's like, "I'm here. What's okay. up?" You know, okay. I'm just saying he's that guy.
He's got the remedy.
And he's in Uptown, and I'm down
the
here.
Yeah, he's got the remedy.
He made that trek.
Yeah.
But I would say Luke's steam engine, boy.
Like, right.
He's my steam. He's the
my dude. Boy.
I'm just saying the guy's got a 3-piece kit.
Right.
He's got a 3-piece kit. Make it sound like a 6, baby. That's all I gotta say.
Okay, so you've named the entire band, and this may be a weird question, but what is the description for you?
I already know. Like, I'm all of them wrapped into one. Alanis Morissette.
So you attribute...
I'm a little bit of everything all rolled into one.
So not only do you attribute a lot of your success or a lot of your identity or a lot of the good qualities you have in a band to your city, but you attribute a lot of yourself to your band.
I'll tell you this, man. And I'm not even trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to, like, flex. I literally dropped out of high school to be in a band, and I worked crazy jobs. I worked at a fucking...
You worked at Lascaris with me,
I worked
too.
At a mortuary. You I worked at Lascaris. Yeah. I was a pool boy. I was kicked out at 18, you know. I lived at our studio. And I'm only saying this for people that are listening, but the only... Everybody struggles to different degrees, to different levels, but everything that I am now, everything that I feel now, you know, I always, in those moments of where I was like by myself and just like driving a car with like a less than a quarter tank,
right.
pushing it down Valley View, trying to get job.
We've been there. We've been
living
there.
At the studio mm-hmm. and showering at friends' houses mm-hmm. and the band, the boys, like, dude. And you and our friends, like,
and Whittier
got me through that. So I think for me, I think I'm just, I can't put it down to, I'm just going to say, I'm grateful and I don't take anything for granted at all. And I think that's, I don't know the correct word to say right now because it's just, it's hit so hard, but I do not take anything for granted, man. I don't take anything for granted.
Right.
I may have like whatever 16. I'm just saying, like, I just don't anymore. Like, I'm just the right guy for the job.
Right.
I feel like the universe and my dude. I mean, you got Luke Perrine, you got Mike Perez, you got Jay Rogers, and they're giving me the mic. Those guys are cool as fuck, and they're letting me do my thing. And before Plague Van even happened, and Jay, if Jay's here, this is probably going to hear it, whatever. But I remember just, like, crying to Jay. Like, real talk. Being like, I want to be in a band with you. You know? And because Jay was always just... Jay would drop me off at my house and, like, from Derek's and just listen to me and, like, have my back. And, you know, he's always checked me on my shit.
Right.
And no one really knows about that. It's like, you know, actually everyone in the band has done that.
Right.
And they've saved me, you know? So when you come from where I'm not saying like I came from some poverty stricken ass shit. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying woe is me at all, but everyone lives their life. Everyone has their own struggle.
Right.
But I remember these deep, dark moments of like loneliness and just like, but I was always going through it with a smile on my face because of the love that the city had, the love that my close friends had for me, the belief that they instilled in me that, like, we're gonna go there, bro. And I knew in the beginning of Plague Vendor, like, this is gonna be epic.
Well, Brandon, despite what anyone else goes through, this is your time to tell your tale. And this is exactly why I have you on here, because I think that being a band from my hometown, being a band that's important to me, because I've seen you guys grow. And I've grown with you guys. I've even jammed with you guys several times, mm-hmm. more times than I can even count.
Yeah.
I think it's important to hear your side of the struggle because it's a very unique one. And it's definitely part of why the band sounds the way that it does. And I want to ask you, where do you guys want to go next? Like, I'm not in a physical place, but like, where do you see the band going now? Where do you want to drive it?
Well, me personally, I want to play Wembley. Like, I Wembley? Want us to be at Wembley. I want to be in a huge arena. I want to sell at the Forum. I want to write another record already. And I want to, like, you know, I want to write another record. I want to sell at the Forum. I want to sell at the Palladium. I want to sell at the Hollywood Bowl. I want to take the boys and I myself on a journey around the world, giving people music, and I want to make people laugh and love and live and dance and groove. And I just want to spread that. I just want to spread love. That's all.
So, even from repeat days, like your first band up until now, I know that you've always had this very kind of a surreal, poetic style of singing. I want to ask you first and foremost, where does it come from? Describe your style.
Describe my style?
Describe your style.
Well, I got to give it all up to my grandmother because I'm not a student. I dropped out of high school. I was super hyperactive growing up. Like, I just didn't. I've never done homework ever. Never done it. My parents were never the type of people to, like, do your homework. My dad was always like, all right, sit down and. It was like that math problem, the multiplication tables from 1 to 100,
right?
And you'd have to, like, do all of them,
right?
So he would just sit us down after school and make us do that, but we never had to do homework,
right?
I didn't, and my mom was just so busy trying to keep food on the table and just work, and, like, you know, I was a good kid, I wasn't causing problems at school, and I would just lie to her and be like, it's all good,
right?
And then I dropped out of school. But as I look back and as I got older, I realized that those years before Granada, before I start to, you know, you graduate eighth grade, then you start to cultivate your own group of friends.
Right.
Before that, I was going to school with my grandma. I always, my grandma's best friend. My grandma was a teacher at Hoover Elementary. And she would put me in reading programs every summer, dog. And I had to go to her school with her, and she forced me to read.
Right.
And I hated it at the time. I hated it, but I was reading, and I was reading and reading and reading, and I was a bookworm. And I turned 16, and, you know, I found music. I found Broken Social Scene. You know, I found Interpol. I found Velvet Underground. You know, before that, obviously, there was stuff I was listening to, like NOFX, Blink-182, and stuff like that. Obviously, like, things that, you know, but that's when I was just, I just remember being, like, Modest Mouse, just being turned on by their words. Because punk was just so fast.
Right.
It was more of, like, a vibe.
Right.
Like, dun, 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 dun. You're not really listening. There was, like, sex and violence, and
no, but you,
obviously, but.
Your style's always been very poetic, though, right?
Yeah, and I'm trying to, dude, I just got to give it up to grandma because she, there was a time, I mean, when Repeat Repeat started, I don't even know, but I heard, like, Modest Mouse, and I heard Interpol, and I heard this poetry, and I heard The Doors, and I heard this just poetry, like, the music wasn't so fast, it was groovy, right?
But it's no,
but,
metaphors.
But it was this crazy vibe, and I remember writing down the singer of Interpol's lyrics in my diary,
right?
Just to see them on paper,
right?
And Karen O's lyrics,
right?
And stuff like that, just to see them,
because
I was like,
sense.
This is crazy. Just to see them, I wanted to, before I wrote any repeat lyrics, like anything, I wanted to just write these and see them on the paper, and I think it was a mixture of my grandma just like. Teaching me how to read.
Right.
And that's what made me a smart ass to be like, I don't need to be in school.
Right.
Like,
right.
Dude, reading is the best.
Right.
Reading is the shit. Like, reading is the what you need to know how to do. Reading is everything. Reading is power. Reading is everything.
Right.
But I was so hyperactive that I didn't realize the gift I've been given. But I was like, yo, fuck this. I'm out. I don't need to be in school. I'm going to be a singer. Like, these guys, Modest Mouse, The Faint, like, these guys are doing monumental, like, they're poets. Jim Morrison, these guys are poets. Like, they're Cedric. Like, these guys are poets, bro. Like, I can pull. Like, I don't know what happened, dude. I don't know when I was like, Brian, like, we're going to do this band. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how I convinced the coolest dudes in Whittier, like, again, like, Frenelli and Brian and Pork and Corey to, like, they're going to give me the microphone, like, you know, like, I don't know how it happened. I just was like, I can do it because those guys in The Faint, Modest Mouse, Interpol, like, they didn't have traditional singing voices. It wasn't Pavarotti. But to me, it was fucking Pavarotti.
Right. But I think a lot of that comes from the words that they use, too, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, they used, I'm gonna pull you in close, gonna wrap you up tight, gonna play with the braids that you came here with tonight. That's, and obviously my first love is hip-hop.
Right.
So I was
more
like,
words.
I was like, yo, like, and I wasn't like, yo, this is hip-hop type, but I was like, yo, this is a 360 vibe, eclectic music. Like, music has no walls to me. Like, my first two close friends were African-American people. Like, I was by my, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. I'm born in this place, in this culture, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So when I heard, I feel like I thank God for that era of music, like that dance vibe type, like the Strokes and stuff like that, because that was very like, it was gangster.
Right.
It was very gangster. Like, the it was just like, let's fucking get down. Here's this groovy bass line, The Rapture, and
rhythms.
Let's just, we don't know how to sing. The thing was, we don't know how to sing, but what we're gonna sing is gonna be fire.
Right.
So I was like, yo, let me get down real quick. Let me just talk about it. Let me do it. And a lightning bolt, literally, boom. I got struck by lightning, and it was like the heart attacks first before it was repeat.
You guys recently released an album. It just came out. I went to the record release. It was complete fire.
That was chilling at the VIP, right?
Right.
Did it feel like the VIP?
I walked into the VIP. You remember
You saw the carpet.
It was wonderful. Dude, it was fucking fantastic.
Did you understand how that was kind of like
lit.
I just thought about this right now. But that was me subconsciously recreating the VIP.
It's the VIP.
Bro, but like, that was your room.
It's officialized.
The carpet, the couches.
It was in the VIP. That's exactly what it was beforehand, right? So what I want to ask you is, you guys just released a fire album. What's next? I mean, like, the thing is, the band's going to have their own ideas. Like, the drummer's going to have their own ideas. The bass is going to have their own ideas. The guitarist. I'm talking about you. Because that's, like, a collective thing. And, like, you know, you guys are still working on, like, that collectively. I want to ask you, what is your next stylistic move for the next album?
For me, I really just want to be more literal in my lyrics. I'm just going to say it, like, Currents, Tame Impala, like, those lyrics, they're amazing.
So like, you're moving away from metaphors and, like, very ornamental language?
Yeah, I think I need to, that'll always be a part of my word, like, my style.
Right.
Because that's, like, kind of like my cloak, you know? But I feel like on By Night, I was already trying to get to where I'm trying to go, of just being more literal. And just being more like, it's so much, doesn't it feel good to hear, like, I always look at those lyrics as his record is like, you know, dude, like, those lyrics from Currents are amazing. So I'm just like, I just want to be more literal. I want to just be more, because I think the more literal you are, it's just so much more intense.
Right.
It's just so much more like this podcast. There's so much more like what we're talking about. It's just so much more of like, damn. And it's, if I can just find a way to talk in a way, like a universe, dude, it's universal. Like, you know?
So you want to have more impact on your next album?
Yeah, man. I want to have more impact. I want to just be, but it's a part of the lyricist's thing is it's not, every lyricist is either writing to protect themselves or writing to free themselves, I think, in some way.
Right.
Right? Like, there's so many things I could say. I could have said on By Night in another way, but I chose to say them in a way that would kind of just, like, you know, protect myself still.
So the listeners... They know a lot about the band now. They know a lot about the direction of where you guys came from, where you came from, where you guys are going, or at least trying to at this point. You're making an amazing effort to, and you guys are going to succeed. You guys have had a blast in the process, but I think the listeners want to know a bit more about you personally. And so I devised a quick little game. I want to answer it as quick as possible just so I get the most honest answers out of you, okay? So this is the favorites game. And I have a few questions regarding your favorites. First question. Favorite animal?
Hairless cat. Sphinx
Why?
Cat.
Why?
Because it's kind of like a little alien. It's kind of like a little demon. And it's like they're like really warm and get really hot at night and then they sleep on you.
Okay, I could see that. Favorite color?
Red.
Why?
It's bomb. It's blood.
It's blood?
It's blood. It's just hot. I just love it. My phone's red. I don't know.
Life force. Favorite artist?
Oh, my God. No. No, dude. Nah. No. No.
Pick one of three.
I'm just going to say some. Can I just say some?
Go ahead.
Iggy Pop, Cedric Bixler-Zavala, Bob Dylan, Jack White, Lee Scratch Perry.
Okay. What's the commonality of all those?
They're just fucking real. They're just real. They're down. They're just real.
Favorite time period?
Time period? Like era of existence?
Yep.
Right now, baby.
Why?
Because I'm alive and we can shape shit. We can make an impact right now if we want. Like everything that's happened has already happened and that's how it is. But right now is what's happening. And whatever we say or we do physically or we can influence and we might be able to fucking shape shift the future. That's a really dope. Every time is the time. Anytime anyone's a time to be alive is good.
Word. Favorite food?
Eggs.
Why?
Nah, pizza, actually. Pizza.
Hey, you like Pizza Mania. I know that.
Pizza Mania.
I know you like Pizza
Mania. Pizza Mania. I just said eggs because I just like breakfast sounds bomb right now. But no, Pizza Mania.
Quick side. Oh, first
Let's
all,
go. First, Let's go in.
First of all, like the thing is with eggs, I noticed the thing I for a while hated eggs. As a kid, I loved them. And then for like, I'd say about 10 years, I hated them. And
I was just speaking from a place of desperation.
No, I
get
that.
You asked me so fast. What do you want to eat? Eggs, please. I'm hungry.
No, but the thing is like with eggs, you can actually make a ton of shit out of, and it impacts a lot of different foods you make.
That's not even why I was saying it though.
I know.
You're asking fast. So I was like scared. I want eggs.
But the thing is like by themselves, like eggs or whatever, but you use eggs a lot in different foods.
I don't. I just eat eggs and pepper.
No. You use them a lot, but you just don't realize it. They're in so many baked goods.
Are they in donuts?
I think probably.
Pizza.
Maybe pizza dough. I think
Pizza Mania is my favorite shit to eat.
But here's
straight
the thing.
Out the gate.
Pizza Mania, dude. Like
everybody.
I used to work at Lascaris, which is like you probably don't know, listeners, but like things. Ugh. I used to work at Lascaris, which is like the rival Italian restaurant pizza spot.
Dog, any pizza place is a rival to Pizza Mania straight out the gate. You got people talking to me about Tony's Pizza. I got people talking to me about Uptown Pizza Co. I got people talking to me about Marco Polo. No. I got people talking to me about Barros. No, stop that. That's nostalgic shit.
No, dude. Tony's Pizza is
No, it's
fire.
Not. No, it's not.
It's a different league.
No.
It's
okay, thank you.
League.
You said it. It's a different league.
Yeah.
Tony's Pizza is
look. Dude, Brandon's got his fists up right now. He's ready to fight me.
If you want pizza, you want to order pizza and you want to get it and you want a traditional like type vibe pizza, some Ninja Turtle type pizza, you go to Pizza Mania. If you want some like nostalgic, you want some like I'm hungry, pizza cool, you're gonna go because Tony's, dude. What? Okay, I don't man, I'm just gonna say it. You go to a pizza place and you can see your slice of pizza that's been out for like however long and all they gotta do is heat it up and give it to you. What is that? That's leftovers.
That's
bro,
that's a pizza place, bro.
No, that's leftovers, bro. Or Chicago. Chicago pizza is second to my hometown Pizza Mania because Chicago, Michael Perez went out and got them deep dish, them thicky thickies from the sticky sticky, bro, from the windy city. And that was fire kush up in my fucking dome on my fucking, it was the best. But don't come to me, anybody listening, and my friends already know they're laughing that they're hearing this, don't talk to me about pizza because I'll embarrass you. I'll embarrass you.
Word.
Don't talk to me about slices. I'll embarrass you. Don't talk to me about Sicilian-ass crust and thick-ass tomato sauce. Don't talk to me about John Perez, Mike Perez's dad, working at Pizza Mania when he was a kid, learning how to toss that dough in Huntington Beach. Don't talk to me about knowing the owner of Pizza Mania and getting a T-shirt, not even have to work there. Don't talk to me about working at a mortuary and seeing the homie that works at Pizza Mania flipping things, working at St. Gregory's. Don't talk to me about pizza. I will embarrass you. I know pizza. I'm a pizza god straight out the gate. Come at me. Come at me. Come at me.
Look inside.
I'd rather eat a DiGiorno. If Pizza Mania is closed down and I can't eat there no more, I'd rather have a fucking DiGiorno than eat at any of y'all fucking favorite places to eat. Sorry. Not sorry. Bye.
See, okay, your boy right here, he's a Pizza Mania fanatic. And I'm not going to say it's not undue. Because let me say something right now. Okay.
No, because pizza.
Let me say something.
I'll say something after.
I'm gonna say
my piece. Okay. My slice, actually.
You're gonna say your slice. I'm gonna start using that. Yeah. So the thing is, like, okay, Brandon may not like the New York slice. That's just the way they do it. They have it leftovers like that. New York slice. New York slice. That's what Tony's is, and that's fine. I love Tony's.
No, bro. Nah, that's not no.
But the thing is, like, you have to understand, like, okay, there's Barrows in town. I actually don't prefer Barrows. Lascaris, I used to work at, and I had to, like, in a sense, unknowingly pledge my allegiance to it. I mean, the thing is,
pizza.
It's regular.
Pizza,
I mean, it's basic. I mean, the thing is, it's whatever. But there is something about Pizza Mania that has a very addictive quality. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's fucking real shit.
Thank you. You're the first person that a homie that says that every
no but it's real. Like, the thing is, if you have
facts, it's facts.
Yeah, if you look at the pizza, they don't have a trillion toppings, but it doesn't matter.
They don't need a trillion toppings. Pizza doesn't need a trillion toppings.
The thing is, like, you look at the pizza when it comes out, it looks like any other place that serves pizza, but you taste it and it's a different story, right? So we discussed your favorite food right now.
Yo, but I need to go back to this.
Go ahead,
dude. Do you remember? Okay, do you remember when owls were really popular and deer heads with the sea?
Like 2010?
Right, remember?
Yeah.
There was a time where pizza was like a thing. People were getting it tattooed on them.
I
know.
Like 5 years ago, yeah.
So pizza was like a cool thing. I don't know how it happened, but it was. It was on Twitter. It was on social media. Like, there's people that have pizza slices on them. And shame on those people. Word. Because that is... Yo, nah. Like, I'm not one of those people that are just on the pizza wave or was on the pizza wave. Like, I grew up at Pizza Mania when it was half the size it was, when it was a juke joint pizza place, when Vanilla Ice was on the coin slot jukebox before it was like a one touch. You can control it from your phone. Like, that's just where I'm from. And Pizza Mania is made. Dude, you can go in there and you can get an individual pizza, right? And you can get a Coke for $5.
Dude, I haven't been there in like a few months. I'm probably going to go there tonight, to be honest.
Word.
Hey, okay.
Just don't talk to me about pizza.
So what do you like on your pizza? Your go-to.
Sausage and pepperoni and jalapenos on the side.
Classic. On the side? So you just put them on there on the side?
Yeah, because if you get them on the pizza, they're like cooked and dried out. But if you get them on the side, they're like pickled and they're like juicy. Right. And a thing of ranch, too, to dip the crust in.
Right. Parmesan or peppers or no?
If I'm with Mike Perez... I'm going to put some Parmesan on my pizza because the boy just, like, gets down like that. And it's just, like, we're usually on tour and we're just, like, I'm like, yo, I'm going to get down.
Have you ever found, like, I'm sure, have you ever had pizza in any other part of the country? I'm sure you have.
Chicago.
Aside from Chicago.
in the UK?
No, anywhere.
I have a story.
In the United States.
No, you said out of the country or in the country?
No, anywhere else aside from.
Obviously. Let me just tell you this. Okay. Right. I'm going to throw you off a little bit. We were in the UK, our first UK tour.
Right.
We were fucked up. Right. Drunk as fuck. Our manager was there, Bitchin' Bob. He was there. And we convinced this pizza place to let me go back and make a pizza and film it. It was epic. I got to do it. I got to toss the dough. I got to fucking... It was amazing.
So you were pizza main that night?
Bro, pizza main.
How was the pizza?
P-I-C-C-A.
Right.
Pizza main.
Pizza main.
Peace of mind, peace of mind, peace of... Oh, it was amazing. It was the pizza... They let me go back there and just... I'm in my... Dude, everybody that knows me knows, dude. Like, if you are one of my homies, like Derek, Eddie, Jay, Luke, all these... If you go to Pizza Mania and you don't hit me up, because it's down the street from where I live.
Violation.
Via fucking lation of your probation, baby.
Right. But have you ever had another pizza... As good or better than Pizza Mania?
In Chicago, the deep dish.
I'm saying aside from Chicago. No.
No.
Dude, Pizza Mania. No. Dude, no. I'm saying this.
In the city of... In Cali, Pizza Mania is God.
I'm saying like outside from Cali, aside from Chicago.
No, because there's nowhere else to get pizza.
So see,
real talk. It's like 7-Eleven.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, okay, I love Tony's. No, I'm saying like that's probably
for y'all.
It's still fire.
Why though?
Because the taste.
No, you gotta come with me more because I just came at you with a lot more. Why is Tony's bomb?
Because it's just the taste. It's a Tony's taste.
No.
Yes.
No,
but I'm not saying
that's some nostalgia deep in your cerebellum.
Dude, it's so like, is Pizza Mania though.
No, it's
bro.
Not that shit's good.
Yeah, it's good too.
That shit's not laid out for an hour and I go in there and
they heat
it up.
But that's the way New York styles are, bro. Go to LaRocca's in Huntington Beach. LaRocca's in Huntington Beach. I swear, it's bomb.
I like my shit made to order.
That's fine. That's fine. I like it too.
All right, great. It's fine. It's great.
he's going girlfriend on me right now because I know my ex has been like that. You know how girlfriends
great,
do that.
It's great.
Girlfriends do
it's
that.
Great.
Are you fine? Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Oh,
it's fine.
See, we're gonna argue later after this. Mm-hmm. So we know that Pizza Mania is dank, and for any of you that are gonna visit Whittier in the near future,
if you come to Whittier and you don't eat Pizza Mania,
and you have to hit Brandon up, by the way, you have to hit Brandon up for that.
I'll be at Pizza Mania, bro. I'll be there. Okay. I'm the mayor. I'll sit there.
Okay.
I'm
next.
The guy. You know how other pizza places have that cardboard shit?
Right.
That's me, bro.
That's you.
That's what you said.
No. Brandon's on the box. He's the character on the pizza box for sure.
Pizza Mania is the only pizza place I've ever been to that above their fucking sign outside is actually a piece of the picture of their pizza lit up.
I know. It's all grimy like that.
Bro.
Yeah. That's fire.
Fuck with me.
That's fire.
They're repping their shit to the fullest extent.
I'm not
Listeners.
Saying they don't.
No. Bro.
It's bomb. I know that. I'm just telling people.
I'm so mad right now.
Nah, I have to pledge allegiance. But the thing is, Pizza Mania is dank ass pizza.
You're saying that because I got a gun to your head right now.
You got a knife to my neck. Don't fool the listeners. Don't fool the listeners.
Shank.
But it's
Shank Redemption.
But you need to come and try Pizza Mania. Okay, next question. Favorite extinct animal or dinosaur?
Velociraptor. Gang.
Why is that?
Do you have to ask? Have you seen the claws?
Hell yeah.
Have you seen the way they move? Have you seen the way they have that like yeah. They like have that
they roll the tongues
like geez,
yeah.
Bro, like
oh, because like, they're about to fucking
bro,
listen.
Bro, Velociraptor. Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Hell yeah.
Remember the homie? He puts that little Velociclaw to the homie's little belly right there?
Damn.
Come on, it's
gully.
G'd
so
up.
It's,
Raptors,
it's the
bro.
Gulliest animal.
It's,
gully.
It's the gulliest. And it's up there with Pizza Mania. Don't talk to me about extinct creatures. I'll embarrass you. Don't talk to me about pizza. I'll embarrass you.
Right.
Don't talk to me about extinct creatures. I'll embarrass
Say
you.
Say it. Favorite 90s movie.
90s movie, bro. Half Baked.
Word.
Guan.
Word. That's. I don't even need to ask why. Okay. Favorite. Favorite 2000s movie?
2000s movie? Scream.
Scream. Okay, that's a classic.
I don't know.
That was 99?
I don't know.
No, I need to verify.
Fact check. On a fact check.
Wait, was Half Baked 2000?
I don't know, bro.
Okay, we have to fact check.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High was tight. My uncle was like, you can't watch this. Go to the other room.
Scream was 96. Half Baked, 98. Those are both 90s movies. Half Baked was 98.
So I'm good.
So, no. Scream was 96.
Okay, so 2000s movie. Oh, my God. Fast and the Furious.
All right, word. I mean, there must be some merit to that. There
no,
must be
this Italian thing. Job, Fast and the Furious, like, all those, like, car, all the, any
yeah.
movie. Yo, any movie involving, like... robberies and cars is lit. Oh no,
neon shit.
No, the movie with Brad Pitt, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Was that? I think that was like 2000. Yeah, I think that was like 2000.
Anything that Guy Ritchie did in 2000s is flame.
All hard. All
that's
hard.
Me. That's my favorite
Cold
shit.
Lock, right. Stock. I think
Lock, Stock.
Lock,
Stock. Lock, Stock. What is it?
Lock,
what is it? What era?
anything
Guy Ritchie did in 2000 was his flame.
That was 98, dude.
Oh,
I know.
I'm a little cooler.
I know.
All right. Damn it. All right. Well, let me think.
Fast and the Furious, I think, was for sure 2000.
Dude, that was just hard. Point Break, that was 90s. Obviously, I love Point Break.
Dude, you can't beat 90s movies though.
No, you can't.
That's
let me.
A
all right. Let me
That's
think of
challenge.
Some 2000s because 2000s was like. All right. Let me go. Taken. All right, the
Taken's
first Taken was fire.
Sure.
Fight Club. Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Dude,
I had the posters. I had a Fight Club poster in my wall. I had a Bill poster in my wall.
All those? 2000s.
2000s. All right, good. And this is before the Wave. So anyone listening, this is before Wave. This is before it was cool. Like, right. This is like new era.
Right.
So, yeah, that was amazing.
So you nailed it for 2000s. Favorite 80s movie?
80s movie? I gotta give it up. The movie Robert Downey Jr., where he's like a drug addict.
Oh, dude, what was that movie? I don't know what you're talking about.
My girl, Chloe, we watched that, and I was
that was
like,
a good movie.
This is the 80s movie.
That was a good movie.
And it's the same characters, like that fool that's like the drug dealer. Like, he was in some other of the Ryan, what's his name? Like 16 Candles and stuff.
Right.
They said that, my mom said I got my middle name from that character Blaine in Pretty in Pink. But she was lying because it turned out like that's my biological father's like actually middle name. But she was just trying to make me feel, cool. But no, dude, like that movie with Robert Downey.
What do you don't know?
Just Google it. It's worth a Google.
Robert Downey.
That movie is the 80s. That's the 80s movie. If anyone's trying to like 80s out, that's the 80s movie.
Okay, so I'm looking at Robert Downey Jr. Let's look at his filmography real quick. There's a lot to it.
It's amazing. And people are listening right now like they're so mad because they know the name of it. And they're like,
okay,
how do you not get it?
Starting from 1980, there's Up the Academy, Baby It's You, First Born, Tough Turf, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Weird
Less
Science.
Than Zero.
It's Less Than Zero. Okay, 1987.
That is, if you're looking for 87, the year I was born.
I've never seen it.
That is the quintessential 80s movie.
For real?
Without a doubt.
I've never seen it.
But it depends on what genre you're going through. I'm speaking...
But this is your own personal preference.
Yeah, and I'm not a film aficionado, you know? Like, there's probably, like, a lot of cool 80s movies that came out, but, yo, that is the 80s. That is the 80s, baby.
Okay, so we got the 80s. Now I want to ask you, what is your favorite rapper?
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, Ghostface.
Ghostface Killah from the...
Have you heard Supreme Clientele?
Classic.
Okay, yeah.
Classic.
Can I just name some of my favorite rappers?
Yes.
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to go Biggie. Obviously, we're going to go Tupac. We're going to go Ghostface Killah. We're going to go Murs. Because there was like a time in my life where I listened to Murs, like Murs 316, like all the fucking time. Who else we got? We got Currency. Luke and I lived together. We had our place called it the Godstead. It was like Currency before he like... Currency, Wiz Khalifa, Freddie Gibbs. I mean, yeah, like just rhyme sayers, just those. I mean, obviously like Jay-Z. I know there's more. There's this word. There's guys that just flip words, man. Like, but yeah, that just to get you off the top of my head, I had to just throw a few out. Schoolboy Q.
Right.
You know, obviously Kendrick.
TDE.
Obviously, but like Schoolboy is like a flipper of words that's amazing. Yeah.
When is your favorite day of the week?
My favorite day of the week is Monday. Because that's the day that you gotta snap back into it.
Grind mode.
And I'm saying that as on some reverse psychology shit. Like, because it's not my favorite day of the week, but I'm trying to make Monday my bitch. Trying to make my Monday my extended Sunday where I'm just at work, because if you're at work, if you go outside, anyone that works on Monday, if everyone goes to work on Monday, walk outside and just take a look. It's still Sunday. The sun is still shining. So I'm just like, I'm trying to make Monday like my favorite day, the day of like, that's the hardest day of the week.
Right.
And I work with a bunch of dudes. Like, we go in and we work from like 9 to 6 or sometimes, you know, whatever. It's like, that's the hardest day.
Right.
So I'm trying to make Monday the day where it's like, okay, Sunday you got your laundry done, you got your car washed, you got everything ready, you re-upped.
Right.
If you're smart, I'm learning, you re-up on Sunday, you go, because I'm trying to save money, so I go pack my lunch. So you go to like, you know, Stater Brothers, Wally World, whatever, you get your sandwich shit. But everybody can make Monday like their new favorite day, and you get through Monday like you're good.
Right.
So I'm flipping the script on Monday. Monday's my favorite day.
Right.
Okay. Straight out the gate.
When is your favorite part of the year?
My favorite part of the year is Halloween, man. Like, that's... That's where, like,
more performance.
I mean, right. that's where you just get to dress up. Right. That's where you just get to, the darkness shines out. That's why you get to have fun. You get to scare people. Like, my girlfriend and I, we were Dumb and Dumber one year.
I saw that. Amazing. Awesome.
Trying to think of.
And it's funny because Chloe's blonde, so it's perfect.
It was great. She's black. She has black now, but I think she has black hair. But she's always flipping the script on the hair type. But I just love that, man. Like, Halloween is everyone's. I mean, everyone I know, it's like, what are we going to be for Halloween? It's like, we're not sitting around like, yo, what do you want for Christmas, bro? Like, what are you going to do for Thanksgiving, bro? It's like, yo, like, what are you going to be for Halloween? And don't you love thinking about what Derek's going to be for Halloween?
Right. I love it.
I love thinking of, like, half my, like, life is just, like, the excitement of holidays is just thinking about what Derek is going to be for Halloween.
Right.
You know, and, like, Chloe and I are just like, what are we going to do? Like, Halloween, man. Halloween.
Last one question. When are you going to come and grace one of my beats with a freestyle?
Right after we end this fucking podcast. I mean, everyone's always like, I used to, you know, like party type vibes. Like, I was always like freestyling and valuing people.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm not going to lie, you know, it's vicious. It's dangerous. But it's actually not that vicious and dangerous. It was just like, again, with my background of like words and hip hop, and just I was able to just flex on these guys. I was like getting in, like thinking they could do it, and they didn't expect it. So I was able to murder some people.
Right.
But there's a lot of dope people in Whittier that are making. There's actually one person that's making the dopest, illest, fucking words out there. It's like Thesis.
Thesis for sure.
Sean Eberhardt. And that's right. A guy I used to freestyle with in high school.
Word.
When this guy was just on the football team. So, I mean, I think it's coming around that time to where I'm going to make an album with you, and we're just going to do it, and we're just going to release it, and it's not going to even be what anyone's expecting. I'm not going to be grabbing my dick and smoking weed. I'm just going to be rhyming. We're right. going to do it the way I've done everything.
Right. Brandon Blaine from Plague Vendor, was a pleasure having you tonight.
Ah, in the vip, bro.
It was
in the vip.
Audience, you in had a very vip. Special yeah. look inside yeah. one yeah. of the minds
yeah.
of a local legend.
Ooh, yeah.
Take us out, Brandon.
Club Beat Thang. In the vip, bro. Club Beat Thang.